Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Kathleen O, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, July 14th, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book. We are on page 70, the third paragraph that begins with, "If we have been thorough about our personal inventory," we'll be reading and commenting on this one paragraph only. Today's readers are Jody E., who will be reading the 12 steps, Brandy M. will be reading the 12 traditions, and the readers of our text are Naomi B., Robin P., and Pam M. The share ID for Tuesday, July 13th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 17,343. That's 17,343. And this morning's Wednesday, July 14th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting share ID is 17,352. That's 17,352. Our newcomer greeter for today is Kaylee R., and Leslie M. will be making the announcements. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I'll now ask Jody E. to read the 12 steps, please. Good morning, Jody.
Good morning, Kathleen, and good morning, everybody. This is Jody E., gratefully recovering in California. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to other compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Pass.
Thank you, Jody E. And Brandy M., if you would read the 12 traditions, please.
Good morning, it's Brandy M., recovered compulsive overeater, the 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprises, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and film. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for allowing me to do service.
Thank you, Brandy M. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 70, the third paragraph. If we have been thorough about our personal inventory, we'll be reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. And good morning, Naomi B., if you could get us started, please.
Good morning, Kathleen. Oh, good morning, family. This is Naomi B., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater outside Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. If we have been thoroughly about our personal inventory, we have written down a lot. We have listed and analyzed our resentments. We have begun to comprehend the word futility and the fatality. We have commenced to see their terrible destructiveness. We have begun to learn tolerance, patience, and goodwill toward all men, even our enemies, for we look on them as sick people. We have listed the people we have hurt by our conduct, and we're willing to straighten out the past if we can. Well, that's really packed with a lot, but what jumped out at me was this sentence. We've begun to learn tolerance, patience, and goodwill toward all men, even our enemies, for we look on them as sick people, which flashes me back to the top of page 67, which is the wonderful sick man's prayer. We ask God to help us show them the same tolerance, pity, and patience that we would cheerfully grant a sick friend. When a person offended, we asked of ourselves, this is a sick man, or we said to ourselves, this is a sick man. How can I be helpful to him? God, save me from being angry. Thy will be done. And what hit me with that was about 2 years ago, my daughter went to the computer for something, and she found an apology letter that my son-in-law wrote by way of his therapist for cheating on her. And he had been cheating for 4 years, and I had a grandson 4 years old. Well, I'm like the mama bear. You hurt my baby, you're going to hurt me, or you do hurt me. I was so infuriated that this man did this to my daughter, I wanted him dead. Yeah, I did. I can honestly say I wanted him dead. But you see, I have a program that teaches me that we have to learn tolerance, patience, and goodwill toward all men, even our enemies. And in doing so, I had to learn to forgive. Well, I did. I said it. I said I was going to forgive him. But then, you know, what's the old expression? Put our money where our mouth is. So then all of a sudden, I was in church one day, and he walked in. And I looked right in his face, and I said to him, I love you, and I forgive you. And he walked away, and someone said to me, you better sit down. You look like you're going to pass out. But this is what this program teaches, that love and tolerance of others, love and tolerance is our program, is our way of life, is my word. And that's what I have to do. I go to God, not to food. I go to God. And we have a casual relationship because he will always be the father of my grandchildren, yes. And you know, we can be in each other's company, and there isn't any hostility. There's no resentment, because I know resentment in my head. Woo, that's a killer. That's an absolute killer. So thank you, God, and thank you for OA, and thank you for allowing me share and do service. And I pass.
And thank you so much, Naomi B., for getting us started this morning. Okay. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who else would like to share on page 70, the third paragraph?
Melanie C.
Melanie C.
Leslie M.
Leslie M.
Marie B.
Marie B.
Robin P.
Robin P. Okay. We'll stop there. Melanie C., Leslie M., Marie B., and Robin P. Good morning, Melanie. Go ahead, please.
Hey, good morning, everyone. My name is Melanie C., recovered compulsive overeater. In Oregon, the word analyzed, terrible destructiveness to people, harming. Those are the things that stick out for me, and I had written down a lot, and I finally found the key to my future, truly. I've been guided to look at this from an entirely different point of view, really coming around to my side of it, and that took some doing, I'll tell you what, because it was all something outside of me. I finally came to see that the attitude that I ended up with tainted my view of living life. That was a seriously distorted view of living, and I needed something different to happen here. And when I was in this state of thinking and believing, the world really had the power to actually kill me, mentally and literally. I'd contemplated a few times, and it was all an inside job, and I didn't know. I saw that the anger and the projected blame and demand that I had on other people had to be mastered somehow, and I was just lost. I didn't know if that was going to be possible. I was stuck right there, and I had no ability, the big book tells me, to do anything about this, and I couldn't wish it away. I lacked power, but doggone it, this thing wouldn't be ignored. It still wanted me to lash out to other people. And then breaking down this process through this four-step inventory, it pulled back all of the layers, starting with the top layer with, it's your fault, it's all of you, I hate you, I hate you, I can't stand you, it's you, it's you, it's you, to the soft side of the underbelly that was me. I was terrified of not being cared for. I was terrified that I truly was extremely difficult to love, and I was terrified that I was going to have to end up saving myself. Because the scattered manure of utter failure throughout my life told me it wasn't going to be possible at all for me. And this was delusional thinking, driven by that particular fear of being so terrified. 100 ways, it tells me, terrified. And the delusion drove me into my actions. Well, actually my attitude and my attitude of this outlook that I had about people, places, and things that drove my actions and my behaviors for the rest of my life. And that attitude created in me this critical, demanding idea of somebody else. And acting on that behavior was hardcore wired inside of me. And I needed this four steps to be able to move on beyond that, to simply see that the good news of unraveling such things, that I was not a toss-away, that I was salvageable, and I was vastly more than that. But more importantly than all those kinds of things, that I found humanity and humanness in all of us together. We're just doing the same things, pulling each other and ourselves about from under. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Melanie C. in Oregon. Leslie M., good morning. You're up, followed by Marie B.
Good morning, Kathleen O. Thank you for your service. My name is Leslie M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York, and I'd like to thank the people who have shared before me. Yeah, this paragraph has so much in it, you know, and it's really interesting. I've come to a place in my life where I'm really, really, really grateful. We have some big family events happening at the moment, and it says we have begun to comprehend their futility and their fatality. And because of this program, 4 years ago, I got caught up in the middle of a family drama, and I instigated the things. And now this family drama that's going on now, I don't have to get in the middle. I can simply listen to the sides and say, I'm sorry that you feel that way, or I'm sorry that this has happened to you. And, I don't have to say, yes, I already knew that. I don't have to put my two cents in there anyway, because these resentments, and I'm watching the resentments build on either side, which is what is giving me so much gratitude today, is because I'm not saying I don't have any resentments, but, I know I have a way to deal with them, you know, by going through the steps, by working this program on a daily basis. And it's because I've done a thorough step four. You know, I looked at these things and I knew that they were killing me. And this is what took me back to the food every time. And so I'm so grateful. You know, it says, we have begun to learn tolerance, patience, and goodwill toward all men, even our enemies. And, you know, that is the thing that I probably am most grateful for, to not be carrying around all this weight on my shoulders because that was, you know, that occupied all my time. All my thinking was focused on that other person. And now I can simply say, you know, if I'm not the problem, there is no solution. So I'm not looking for solutions outside of myself anymore. I'm simply looking within myself and saying, okay, how is this going to work for me? What is this going to look like? I'm certainly never going to be perfect, but I know that this way is, you know, has made my life beyond my wildest dreams. I am, you know, I'm more of the time I am happy than not, and that had never happened before, especially when I was in the food. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Leslie M. in New York. Marie B., good morning. You are up, followed by Robin P.
Hello. Good morning, everyone. This paragraph for me is just a summary of it's coming to a conclusion and letting us review everything that was covered in step four. Where am I at this point? And I just recently went through a step four in, I want to say it was April, and cleared out just as much as I could. And I'm so grateful that I did at that point in time, because since then I've had some real challenges, and it was that experience of learning how to deal with my resentment, learning how to stop running the show, stopping the self-seeking, what I used to call codependency, but was really, for me, if I really looked at it, what I was really doing was self-seeking and wanting everyone to live according to my script. And so step four came at just the right time, because, you know, now I've got so many things going on and things that could, you know, bring up a resentment. For example, I have a very chronic illness, and in the next year things will decline pretty rapidly, and I have total peace about that. But I have members in my family who are not being vaccinated, and it impacts my health. And I have really had to rely on God for what I am to do, what I am to be during this time. And I'm so grateful for God, because I have such peace about it. Whereas, if you met me 6 months ago, it would have been you know, drama all over the place, but I just have a real peace about it. One thing I notice, and this comes to me every time I read the words, "for we look on them as sick people." I think in the past, when I looked at an enemy as a sick person while I was in program, I would kind of say, "Oh yeah, that person's got problems," and then in the back of my mind, sort of dismiss my own behavior. That is not what I'm called on to do. What I am called on to do is to look at all of mankind with compassion. None of us are perfect, and we're different levels of sick, and that's fine. We're all children of God, and even the people that, you know, I considered my enemies at the time, you know, they're children of God, and I don't know what people are going through. I hardly know what I'm going through day to day, but I try to just meet people with love. Love and tolerance is my code. I heard someone say,
time, please.
Love and tolerance is my policy, and I love that so much. And that's how I guide myself day to day. And grateful for the fourth step. It's got me where I am today, and with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Marie B. And before we take Robin, a reminder, we're on page 70, the third paragraph. If we have been thorough about our personal inventory, and I'll be taking some more names after Robin. So good morning, Robin.
Good morning. Thanks so much, Kathleen, for your service. It's great to hear your voice. I'm Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Costa Rica. And I think someone's unmuted. If you just check your mute status, that'd be wonderful. So I just love everything about this paragraph. We've begun to learn tolerance, patience, and goodwill toward all men, even our enemies, for we look on them as sick people. Wow, that is just such a great way to live, because it just frees me up. Because, you know, it's that thing about resentment, drinking poison, and thinking that you're killing someone else, and resentment eats its own container. I feel so miserable when I'm resenting somebody, and I feel so grateful when I'm not. And I love living in joy and peace and that even place, that where I'm just, I don't feel anger or resentment, and it just hurts me. You know, even if I'm right, it doesn't matter. It just matters that I'm happy and peaceful and trudging the road of happy destiny. And I can't really trudge it very well when I'm walking around with rocks on my back. And I'm a serial inventor. I've invented several things. Excuse me. And one of my inventions, I've gone through 3 rounds of manufacturing, and I've had resentments every time because I've had some very challenging manufacturers. And, you know, to the point where once my husband and I assembled 1,000 of these in our garage ourselves because the manufacturer just disappeared. And this round, they've just been they've made a lot of repeated errors and very, very, very expensive issues. And I've been doing 10 steps. I've gone through the whole steps on manufacturing. I literally surrender them every day. And I, you know, at the point where I'm really working my program about seeing if it's best to let them go and move on. And so I just, to be able to do this with tolerance, patience, and goodwill, and pray for their health, happiness, and prosperity, and make the best choice, and, you know, whatever's best for everyone, please, God, please bless me with making the right choice. And because I just get to live happy, joyous, and free. And I'm so grateful for this program, because this would have eaten away at me. And, you know, it's like, pour me a drink, you know. And I just am so grateful that I know now how to live. I did not know how to live before this program. I would have just hurt myself with this. And now I just get to live in recovery. God bless everybody with a really blessed, abstinent day. I'm so grateful I got to share. God bless you. Thank you.
And thank you, Robin P. in Costa Rica. Okay, we're on page 70, the third paragraph, if we have been thorough about our personal inventory. And if you have not shared Monday or Tuesday and you'd like to share, I'm ready for your name.
Sherry
Diane B.
Okay, I heard Diane B. And was it a Sharon?
Yeah, it was Sherry M.
Oh, Sherry M. Okay.
Yeah, thanks.
Maureen.
What's your initial, Maureen?
Maureen F.
As in Frank?
F as in Sam. Thank you.
50-50 chance there. Okay.
Veronica B.
Veronica B.
Elaine B.
Elaine B. Anyone else want to jump in? Okay, I have Sherry M, Diane B, Maureen S, Veronica B, and Elaine B. So go ahead, please, Sherry.
Oh, good morning. Thank you so much for your service. This is Sherry M. I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in California. Oh, I wanted to share a miracle of this program on this paragraph. I like to ask myself questions. Was I thorough, right? Am I thorough when I'm doing my inventory? Do I have love and tolerance? Do I believe that this is fatal and futile? And yes, yes, and yes. And I have a miracle to share. I had resentment with my husband's ex-wife for a few years and, always feeling left out and I just kept doing the inventory on it. And of course she wasn't treating me the way that I wanted to be treated. And even though I was showing up with all these hidden motives and agendas and, you know, making it look like I was, you know, being very nice and gracious, really what was happening is I had a lot of insecurity inside of me and there was nothing that anyone could have done to help me except for God and by doing this inventory. And so it would be like, you know, she would be maybe coming for the holiday and I would say, no, I don't want to go because of my insecurity and my feeling uncomfortable in that situation. And I just kept going to God and doing the inventory and looking at this resentment and going further and shifting. You know, this program is a complete miracle. The other day, my husband had all of these tapes, VHS tapes, transferred to disc and to computer for his kids of home movies. And I was watching it, and the bitterness that I had for this woman as I'm watching these movies of her with her young children and my stepdaughters, and what a great mom she is. And it just brought tears to my eyes because there was a total shift inside of me that happened that was not of my doing, but it was by taking the action. And I had such respect for this woman and such love in my heart for her. And for the first time, I saw that we could all be a family and I could be part of it. And I was the only one separating myself from the situation and making things difficult for myself. But with God's help, I could be loving and tolerant and kind, and I could be more, not have any wants of anybody trying to give me anything, but what could I bring to the picture? And so I shared this with my stepdaughter, what a wonderful mom. She was, and watching these videos really warmed my heart. And this was also part of my amends. I haven't had an opportunity to tell her this in person, but this information got back to her with, you know, through the family, and she was very taken by that. And so, you know, I just want to say that there's nothing too big for the program. There's no resentment. My experience has been that when I stay entirely abstinent and then I keep going to God for help with all areas, these transformations can happen and these shifts and these totally different outlooks in life. And I don't recognize myself because this is not of my doing. This is a power greater than myself where I actually can visualize now us all being together as a family. And what a relief for everyone around me, right? That I don't have to harbor this insecurity. And so I just wanted to share that little aha thing that I thought of this morning. Thank you so much, and I pass. Have a blessed day.
And thank you, Sherry. I'm in California. Diane B., good morning. You're up, followed by Maureen F.
Good morning. This is Diane B. in Southern California. And This is a great paragraph, and basically it's the crux of the program. It's this program is here for me to learn tolerance, patience, and goodwill to all men, even my enemies. And it helps me look at people with their defects of character, which makes them sick people, so I can learn to love and tolerate them. It helps me with my resentments. Because I'm a compulsive, obsessive person, my issues with food became compulsive, obsessive. And little did I know that it was based in resentments of other people, places, and things. And so this program gives me a guideline in how to get out of that. I recently had a little issue where I could not stop thinking of this issue with my homeowners association. I could not stop thinking of it. And it wasn't until I was willing to go to God and pray and say, please help me to not think of it, this. And he did. He did. When I ask him, he's right there. And this program is teaching me to practice. And it takes a lot of practice to, and a lot of pain. I mean, the pain is there for a reason, because I'm a kind of personality that only moves and changes with pain. And so the pain creates an issue enough that I have to seek help to stay out of these resentments and to learn to love and help those around me and not be concentrated on myself. Yesterday I was listening to a podcast that was talking about being one with God. And I realized these two men that were talking about this podcast were saying how we learn to do that is, first of all, with our spouse, that we have to be one with our spouse. And if we feel like we're not equal to our spouse, then we may look down upon them. And I realized that my relationship with my husband in the past has been that way. I have looked down on him. And so I'm able to open up my mind when I hear something like that in a podcast. I'm able to open up and look at myself, which is how we change. And so what a blessing this program is, and I pass.
Thank you, Diane D. in California. Maureen S., you are up, followed by Veronica B. Good morning, Maureen.
Good morning. Thank you so much. Maureen S., recovering in New York. I'm just coming back into recovery gratefully. And I'm not yet at step four. I'm just starting over down the steps. But in the past, I've always had so much fear and anxiety about step four, because I didn't want to look at all of this, and not surprising that I did not recover. So I actually do not have that overwhelming sense of fear about going through this process. I'm amazed at how true this paragraph is. We have begun to comprehend their futility and their fatality. Gosh, I just had a lot of resentments that I thought I had worked through when I did the step four, 2 years ago. I did not work through them, because they're still, coming up in my mind as I kind of mentally prepare for going through this. And all it does is, like the big book says, we drink a poison and we're poisoning ourselves. I'm reminded of my mother-in-law, who, when I look at our relationship, I set a bar so high for her. It's not surprising that, that I don't have a great relationship with her, because I really set us up for such failure, because I was really close with my mom, and I never really gave, my mother-in-law a chance. And I'm just starting to see how I really truly did contribute to these resentments that I always blamed so much on the other person. I'm grateful that I came back and that I never gave up on recovery, because it does work. And when I give control over to my higher power and I don't focus on myself and I do treat people as if they are sick, I have so much peace. So I just want to encourage anyone, if you're on the line and you're thinking, oh, and you know, this scares me, just take one step at a time. And for me, that was, I need a sponsor, and I have one, and I'm not looking into the future and thinking about anything actually beyond today, and just doing what I'm told to do, and not thinking about myself. And I'm really starting to see so much hope, and I'm really looking forward to going through all of the steps again, and really fully giving up these resentments to my higher power. But thank you for letting me share. I so appreciate it, everybody. Thank you. I'll pass.
Thank you, Maureen S. in New York. And Veronica B., you are up, followed by Elaine B. Good morning, Veronica.
Good morning. I'm Veronica. I'm a compulsive overeater from California. Thank you, Kathleen, for your service. We have begun to comprehend their fatality and their fatality. We have commenced to see their terrible destructiveness. Destructiveness is what I really focused on. When I did my inventory, I got to see that my thinking pattern and my attitude towards people and situations were destroying me, absolutely destroying my spirit, were blocking me from God, basically. So I got it all down on paper. Because for me, my disease centers in my mind. That's where it starts for me. It's my thoughts that lead me to certain actions. And I have caused a lot of wreckage in my disease of compulsive eating. And it was not easy for me to see how people had dominated me, how I put over-dependence on other people, and how they continue to disappoint me. But it was really me. It's not them. The problem lies within me. It lies within my thinking. The great news about this is I get to live a different way of life today. We have begun to learn tolerance, patience, and goodwill toward all men, even our enemies, for we look on them like sick people. This is saying that I have begun to learn. For me, it takes practice. It's a practice for me to be nice to my sister when I don't want to be nice to her. It takes practice for me to be patient with my other sister who thinks she's right and I'm wrong. It takes a lot of practice for me. And my experience is when I'm not practicing tolerance, patience, and goodwill towards my loved ones, I pay a big price for that. Something inside feels wrong. Something inside feels off. It's because I'm blocked from a higher power. It's because I'm taking my will back. So this whole inventory process, it's for me to get free. It's for me to find out the truth about my obscured perception and how I see the world, and that I can live on a different basis today. I can live on the basis of trusting and relying on God, and that I am taken care of, and that God is deep within me. As long as I keep the channel clear from my heart to my head, you know, and I try my best to take these steps through my heart today. And it takes practice for me, a day at a time, a situation at a time, to change. But God is changing me as long as I seek Him.
Time, please.
Thank you for letting me share.
And thank you, Veronica B. in California. And before I take Elaine, reminder, we're on page 70, the third paragraph. If we have been thorough about our personal inventory, I'll be taking some more names after Elaine. So good morning, Elaine.
Good morning, Kathleen. Thank you for your service and everybody on the line. So very grateful. Very grateful for the miracles. You know, by this point, we have gotten through step four and step five and step six and seven. It's amazing. And we've done it, hopefully, abstinently. And that's a miracle to be able to show up and not have the food have the power that it had. But now we get down to not what just what we were eating, but what was eating us. We really analyze our resentments. So instead of carrying around this list of they did, they, you know, just such sensitivity. I have a list of some of the character defects I really wanted God to do right on the next page, just being oversensitive, you know. And I ran to the food for comfort, but now I have a better way. You know, I can comprehend the futility and fatality. First, it was a food. I was going to die 100 extra pounds of weight on my body. And it was that I was dying slowly, but it wasn't because of the resentments or probably even the food. I was killing myself. I was squashing myself. I couldn't let the real me out. Because I wasn't safe, I was in survival mode all of the time. So how exciting to discover that there is a better way and that we can learn tolerance, patience, goodwill towards men, even our enemies, because we look at them as sick people. And when I look over my resentments, everything I blame them for, I have done myself. There are very few things that showed up on my list that I had not done to somebody else. And so just another miracle now as I look back at the work that I've done and the things that have changed, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly, I am amazed at the difference in how I'm showing up and the love and tolerance. It's true. It's not an effort. You know, we're going to be exploring more in the future, but this is one prayer that's sort of crafted out of page 82, paragraph 1, and page 83, paragraph 1, which helps us get through, you know, straightening out the past if we can. And this is what it says. I still pray this often. I've prayed it so many times. God, please help me keep my spouse and family's happiness uppermost in my mind as I try with your grace to make these relationships right. Please show me how to find the way of patience, tolerance, kindness, and love in my heart and soul. Please show me how to demonstrate these principles to my family and all those about me. And I just know I'm showing up different. People have tried to push my buttons, but those buttons have been disconnected, you know. I can respond in a different way. And this is a time where we have a lot of family around. And I'm just amazed. It's as much of a miracle as neutrality around the food, but even more. These are core changes. If it's possible for me, it's possible for anybody on this line as we work the steps and lean into our higher power who is doing for us what we can't do for ourselves. And thank you.
And thank you, Elaine B. in California. Okay, I can take a couple more names. Anyone want to share on page 70, the third paragraph?
Sherry K.B.
Sherry K.B. One more person want to jump in?
Lynn D., California.
Is that B as in boy, Lynn?
D as in David.
D as in David. Okay, thank you. Okay, I have Sherry KB and Lynn D. So go ahead, Sherry.
Good morning, everybody. This is Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered compulsive overeater. Thanks so much for your service, Kathleen O. and Team Wednesday. You know, this is a very powerful paragraph. What's included in this is promises. These are the fourth step promises, where it says, we've begun to comprehend their futility and fatality. We have commenced to see this terrible destructiveness. We have begun to learn tolerance, patience, and goodwill. And I also want to say understanding. It talks about that in the family afterward. And understanding is really important to me, too, because now it's going to be my code of how I live from here on out toward even our enemies. We look on them as sick people. And I just know that when I read this paragraph, when it talks about how thorough I need to be to do this personal inventory and write down a lot. And what it means by that to me is that I'm writing down what my resentment is, and I'm following through the columns, and I'm also doing a turnaround because I'm looking at my part. And in the past, like it said, as far as we got was just looking at what other people had done to us. And that's, we wasted a lot of hours, squandered a lot of hours, and I know that definitely was my case. And now it's telling me, because I'm being thorough, that I am going to see how these resentments have really, even expectations, they say expectations are premeditated resentments, and resentments are like taking poison, expecting somebody else to die. And I have a perfect example of a resentment that just ruined my life, ruined my relationship. I became very bitter. I'll never forget somebody in program, me telling them about it, and they said, "You sound bitter." I'm not bitter. I'll never forget that as long as I live. I was so bitter, and I never saw myself as a bitter person. I'm sorry, somebody's talking, or could you please mute? Thank you. And the truth is all these resentments held one thing in common, that God was nowhere to be found. And as bad as I was with the food, that's how bad I was with my attitudes, my resentments, my fears, you know, all of that was just as deadly. And so here, if it's saying, if I'm thorough, that, you know, I'm going to follow through with this and I'm going to find freedom. And it's promising me that I need to see how destructive this really, what really happens to me when I hold on to resentments. And without my higher power and going forward, love, patience, and tolerance is my code and understanding. And I pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Sherry KB in California. Okay, Lynn D in California, go ahead, please.
Oh, thank you. My name is Lynn D. from San Diego. And the part that always really struck me, especially when I was doing the steps for the first couple times, was that, you know, we don't treat sick people that way. And for me, my resentment against my father and also kind of my mother was, you know, one of those like kind of miracle moments where it's like that frosty ice cap slowly just dissolved overnight when I could think of them, that like they just did the best they could. And, you know, they're sick people just like I am. And so that resentment was so lifted for me by realizing that. And then also, I just wanted to say that, the longer I hold on to a resentment and think about it, and just so much wasted time for me and thought and things that I could, other things that I could be doing, being of service and, you know, just getting my head in the program instead of out of the program. I hate when I think back and look on before program of all the days and hours and sleepless nights I wasted on a resentment that I now have the solution for. So thank you for letting me share. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Lindy in California. And thank you, everyone who shared this morning. Really appreciate you doing service and sharing on this line. Okay, we are going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So, Robin P., would you please read a vision for you?
Yes, thank you. Thanks, Kathleen. I'm Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Costa Rica. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows and clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then, amen.